I'm Mary Engish, along with the man with all the gardening answers, Charlie Nardozzi. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Mary.
Well, you know I love peonies and hydrangeas. Those are my favorite flowering shrubs of all time. But there are other flowering shrubs that maybe get overlooked. Can you suggest some really pretty ones that would do well in our summer gardens?
Yeah, so some early flowering summer shrubs. So some of the ones we grow that I really like, the first one is Wajila. The one we have is called Sonic Bloom Pink. And it's called Sonic Bloom for a reason, because it has a ton of flowers, trumpet-shaped flowers that are beautiful pink color to them. It grows up 5-6 feet tall. There are versions of it that have burgundy-colored leaves. And even though it's not a native, I swear that the hummingbirds and the bumblebees love this plant. They were just devouring the trumpet-shaped flowers this last couple weeks. A native that we grow is really nice. It's called Ninebark. And Ninebark is a nice one. And the one we grow is one that's a cross between Nana, which is a dwarf, and Diablo, which has burgundy-colored leaves to it. And they're kind of a cut, serrated burgundy-colored leaf. It's called Summer Wind. And this variety grows up about 4 feet or so tall, cascades, kind of like a bridal wreath spirea, looking very beautiful in the landscape. And this time of year has nice clusters of pale pink flowers on it. Speaking of natives, the mock orange is one, and usually those are big shrubs, you know, 5, 6, 7 feet tall, 8 feet tall, but there's a dwarf one called Illuminati Sparks. It only grows 3 to 4 feet tall. It's been flowering for a couple of weeks now with double white flowers, beautiful clear white flowers with a nice fragrance to it. It's a good one for a small space landscape. Another one that has beautiful colored leaves is one called Spirea Double Play. Now this has chartreuse colored leaves, and it's a mounding shape one, and it gets kind of big, but when it flowers this time of year, it has pink flowers with the chartreuse colored leaves. Beautiful color contrast. What I do to keep it small is that every couple years I cut it way back in late winter, so I cut it by a half or more, so it looks like a bunch of little sticks and that's it. But amazingly enough, after a couple weeks it starts leafing out, and by this time of year it looks beautiful. There are, of course, are the elderberries. There's the native elderberry, great berry production. If you want to use some of the European ones, like the Sambuca nigra, the black lace and lemony lace are nice ones with colorful foliage. And then finally, the Syringa reticulata, the tree lilac. This one will be blooming pretty soon. It grows a lot as a street tree. It grows about 20 feet tall. There are variegated versions of it, like Chantilly lace, and a fragrant version called Snow Dance. So some really nice ones to incorporate into your landscape that'll keep that color show, keep continually going right into midsummer.
Well, listeners have lots of questions for you, Charlie. Here is one from Karen. Karen writes, can you recommend a natural method to get rid of sawflies on hibiscus before they turn into larvae that eat the leaves?
Well, the most natural method would be your thumb and your index finger. Squish them. If you don't have too many of those sawfly larvae, which are little caterpillars on the undersides of the leaves, you can just go around and squish them, and that will knock down the population. If you've got a ton of them, then you do have to probably spray, because they will defoliate the plant. BT will not work on these. These are sawflies. They're not in the Lepidoptera family, so they're a little bit different. I use a spinosad on mine, but you have to be very careful with spinosad because it could be toxic to bees and pollinators. So the time to spray it would be in the evening when the wind is calm and the bees are gone for the day. And once it dries, it's not so toxic to those pollinators. So that would be something I'd spray on the undersides of the leaves. Do it once and you should be all set.
Dave in Rutland writes, in my front garden, I have 3 Russian sage bushes planted, and right next to them seems to be a trouble spot. Dave says, I've planted all kinds of perennials there. They do great during the season, but next year maybe one plant will come back and that's it. Could it be the root system from the Russian sage that's blocking the other plants from thriving?
Well, it shouldn't be the root system. It may just be it's a poor soil area. So what I would do is I would maybe dig out some of that soil. If it's a clay soil, for example, amend it heavily with some compost, or raise it up with some compost and topsoil. Just kind of create a better environment for things to grow. Other plants that could be nice pairs with the Russian sage would be asters, anything in the Artemisia family has those silvery kind of foliage on the plant, and anything in the Salvia family would probably do well there.
Eric in Underhill writes, we have a mature 10-year-old Japanese maple that appeared to have weathered our past winter just fine, and then all the budding stopped. Its twin companion tree has showed its best spring growth ever while always being the more temperamental of the two. What gives?
Well, it's a very existential question there, Eric. Two trees treated the same way, one's not doing well, one's doing well. It's hard to know because in every landscape, there's some microclimates that might affect it. There could be something in the root system with it. I think for the one that's struggling, the best thing to do would do a little pruning on it. Prune it back a little bit, try to reduce the load of leaves on that plant so that it can maybe leaf out, send out some new shoots, and hopefully it'll recover and be just like its friend next door.
Send Charlie your gardening questions, gardening@vermontpublic.org, and find this in all our episodes in your favorite podcast app. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.